Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You and I generally agree that what happened 5 years ago doesn't really apply to what will take place in this game. So when I say things like Patrick Mahomes is 6-0 in the divisional round and the Texans are 0-6 in the divisional or 0-5 in the divisional round in their history, technically, that doesn't have a bearing on how these two teams match up. So let's just talk about the game individually. One, Joe Mixon isn't even practicing right now, so that's an immediate concern.
I still think
if you're the Texans. I think so, too. Their offensive line has had, not even kidding, bigger problems than Kansas City's. So if we're talking about offensive line problems, might want to start the conversation with the Texans. And oh, I'm sorry, can Chris Jones and Charles Omenihu and George Karlaftis not take care of or not take advantage of a difficult offensive line play from Houston? That's the case. The quarterback play is uneven. The Chiefs have the deeper wide receiver set. The best player for the Texans in the last game was Tank Dell, who was out for the year. Like, I just think so many things are in favor of Kansas City. I kind of expect him to go back to the conservative run, short pass, quick pass, under 2.5 seconds to protect ourselves from Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter a little bit, and go that route. Because if you do look over the last 3 weeks, since Joe Tooney has been the starting left tackle, they are getting rid of the ball faster than just about any other team in the league right now. And so if that's the case, well then, okay. Right? Oh, okay. Well, then you know, they're going to do the quick passing game. But with the weapons they have now, that works. Because they're hard to guard when Hollywood's getting it or Xavier Worthy's getting it, and when those short passes were going to Juju Smith-Schuster.
That, along with the excitement of what has Andy Reid got up his sleeve. Because we just know he calls games differently in the postseason. There are looks that we haven't seen, opponents haven't seen. There's things that they did the final month of the season to set up for what they can do in the postseason, specifically what they did against the Texans the first go-around. What they did against the Texans the first go-around, yeah, there'll be some elements of that that they'll go back to that were successful, but there will be a look where the Texans think they got something figured out, and then what's the counterpunch for the Chiefs? And history, not that I don't think D'Amico Ryans is a good head coach, I think he is, but history tells us Andy Reid's going to out-game plan you. Andy Reid's going to be able to find a mismatch that you think wasn't there. And that, to your point about the different weapons, you think you got something figured out. Oh, we got something for Hollywood Brown. All right, well then you got Xavier Worthy underneath as well. Or you got something figured out for Kelce.
There's got a few too many people to guard.
Yeah, that's why they're so deep offensively and why I think we all feel better about this year's offense heading into the postseason than we did a year ago. It's why if you're the Texans and you're thinking like, how do we pull this thing off? We saw it play out wild card weekend. Now, the Broncos didn't win, but they went. No. They had a fake punt call on a 4th and 6 on their second drive or something like that. And they got it. You got to be ready for it. We all know 5 years ago, the Texans did try a fake punt when they were up. That was Bill O'Brien being way too aggressive. D'Amico Ryan's not going to make that kind of mistake if they somehow got up. But you got to be ready truly for everything. This is a Texans team. Both teams are going to lay it all out there, but I would not be surprised at all if the Texans, whether it's a fake punt call, Cody, an onside kick very early in the game to try to catch the Chiefs off guard, something like that, because I think you go into the game, you know that if you're just saying level playing field, neither team turns the ball over, I don't think the Texans can win. They have to have something not crazy happen, but they need either turnovers or they've got to create an extra possession. That's why I bring up the fake. You know, it's one thing to call a flea flicker or something. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about legitimately you're trying to steal possession via onside kick or fake punt.
And now the onside kicks are a lot different because you have to declare them, so nobody even goes for those anymore, which helps. No one can, like Sean Payton from the playoffs 10 years ago, sneak an onside kick past you or try to sneak an onside kick past you. I do feel like, if you're just like, I don't want to just like dismiss them like they have no ability to win. Going into the season, I thought the Texans, and I think you did too, would have a chance to compete for the number one seed. I didn't think they'd get it, but because of the division they were in, the way C.J. Stroud looked as a rookie, the combination of Tank Dell and Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins, right? I mean, that looked like maybe one of the best wide receiver units in the league. And so, you know, I saw how they could get to their path. But now that they've put it all together, you know, DeMeco is still an incredibly inexperienced coach. This is his third playoff game, which is not none, certainly, for DeMeco Ryans, because he got to coach in two last year. Sorry, this is fourth. And he's gotten to coach in one so far this year. But it's they just got problems. The things that scare me about them are the obvious things. Nico Collins can take over a game. He's tall. He's fast. He can possess the ball. He is difficult. They have two great pass rushers. They have one great corner. And so the way, and they have two really good corners, honestly, if you lump them in together. Colin Cowherd, I think it was him, yesterday actually made a really good point about this, which is if you're looking to find a way to win, or if what you're trying to learn is, why is Kansas City in position to get a three-peat? Is it because they're great at everything? Because the Texans aren't great at anything, and neither are the Chiefs. And the answer is no. But the Chiefs decided to be great in the areas you have to be great in. Quarterback, a pass rusher, one elite level or a couple of like decent weapons, and you need to be elite at corner. And so they got an elite corner, they got an elite pass rusher, and they got an elite quarterback. And competent offensive line play is typically the other thing. The Texans have not an elite quarterback, but a pretty good one. They do have an elite pass rusher. They do have an elite corner. So they have some of the things I think all winning teams, all Super Bowl winning teams possess. But they're all just like worse than what Kansas City possesses. And that's where the difficulty is.
Yeah, the Texans were a team last year that surprised a lot of people. They were far more dangerous than in the postseason a year ago. Look at Houston's season, and a lot of people say, oh, C.J. Stroud had a sophomore slump. I don't think it was necessarily a sophomore slump as much as his offensive line was banged up. And then you referenced at one point in time Nico Collins was hurt, and now we're talking about Tank Dell being hurt as well. I just think there's definitely a lot of history on the Chiefs' side here, looking at an opponent like Houston. As you said to start the show, the Texans have not won the divisional round weekend, for starters. But then on top of it, Kansas City has Patrick Mahomes, who's undefeated in this spot. The Chiefs are 8-plus point favorites. Teams that are 8-plus point favorites over the last decade, there's only been two times in total where those teams lost outright. We can keep going through Andy Reid off of bye weeks. There is very little, in my opinion, to support why the Texans can win this game. I think, as we've discussed throughout this week, and we'll talk about the NFC playoff field later on too, maybe you want to make case for the Commanders, but I think the Texans are the worst team remaining in the field, and the Chiefs get a face off with them, and they just played them a couple weeks ago. So C.J. Stroud has shown he's a big game type of player. He's got two playoff wins in 2 years, but he hasn't played in an environment like Arrowhead in the postseason. Yeah, he may have played at Arrowhead 3.5-4 weeks ago. It's a playoff Arrowhead. We know it's different. We also know it's going to be a wind chill of 10 degrees, 15 degrees. The wind is going to be whipping a little bit there. And so that's different. I yesterday we got into the whole Ohio State stuff and all that. I'm sorry, there's a difference.
Am I going to let someone talk me into 18 months at Ohio State, meaning that they know how to play in the cold?
Because my problem
in
with
the playoffs,
my problem
the
with the thought is like, well, the Texans will just run with Joe Mixon. One, he is hurt, as you said, even though I believe he'll end up playing.
I think so, too.
The Texans' offensive line in the run game has been inconsistent. And the Chiefs have been one of the better run-stuffing defenses. Even early on in the year when the pass coverage wasn't great, they were effective against the run. So I'm just trying to figure out what's the formula look like for the Texans to win on offense, and it's really tough. And that's why I keep going back to they have to do something unexpected, even though, as the text line points out, you really can't even do a surprise onside kick anymore. That is true.
Yeah.
It has to be a fake punt or something like that. But can they win this game without a strip sack or a pick six or a punt return that sets up a really short field? I think the answer is no.
No, and again, back to your point on like the issues related to like where this team is and like how do the Texans manage to complete this. It takes – everyone wants to mention the things the Texans are doing better. Like, for instance, the Texans' defense is playing better. That is statistically true, just like the Ravens' defense is playing better if that's the team the Chiefs face in the next round for the AFC Championship game. All of those things are true and certainly could be the case. But the Chiefs defense is also playing better, and they had to learn how to play better while missing a very important defensive player for them in Jalen Watson, who they now have back. So they were playing really good defense for the first like 7 weeks of the season. Then they started playing, and then Jalen was 6 weeks. Jalen Watson got hurt, and they played atrocious defense for about a month and a half. And then they stabilized. Minshew came back, and they figured out how to win without Jalen Watson, despite their flaws. And their defensive numbers shot back up again. And now they learn to win that way and get Jalen Watson back. So anything you can kind of say, and here's the problem, anything you can kind of say about the Texans, you can also say about the Chiefs. They can also do those things. And so, yeah, I don't know, man. It's I'm about as comfortable as you can be, I'll be honest, for a divisional round game. So, like, if I got to come in here on Monday and eat crow, I'll eat crow. I am incredibly comfortable. Someone's like, playoff stretch has started. I was like, that can start next week.
Like, look, there's always going to be some fans that no matter what, and it's kind of human nature to be nervous and knowing that they're going for a three-peat. I think that adds to it. I'm with you matchup-wise. Next week is when I think you start to get really nervous because it's going to be Baltimore, Buffalo. It's a Texans team. We just laid out kind of their issues that they have. I hear you. There's definitely going to be some people listening right now that are saying, like, I don't care. I'm nervous because it's a playoff game, plain and simple.
Sure.
I don't care what it
That's
is.
Fair.
Absolutely. Like, if this team were to fall behind 7-0 early, I get it. People would start being very, very nervous. But this particular round, this matchup, I still think is very, very favorable for Kansas City. And I'm kind of with you. You and I have done some different radio hits across the country this week, and everybody asks, like, hey, how are you guys feeling? How are fans feeling confidence level? The confidence, on one hand, is just that Mahomes has been perfect this round. The other part is the opponent that we just discussed. And other than playing Pittsburgh this weekend, I don't think there was an opponent we would rather see the Chiefs face. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Steelers. Like, Steelers. I would have liked if it was the Steelers.
Because their quarterback, C.J. Stroud, is, of course, way more capable now than Russell Wilson would have been. And the Steelers were just on a downward. I mean, they lost five in a row, four in a row going into the playoffs.
Again, they looked like ass.
The Texans have shown some explosiveness on offense at times, whereas the Steelers haven't in a month. So that, other than that, that's the only way this weekend could set up any better, is if it would have been the Steelers instead of the Texans. Otherwise, I think you got what you really wanted.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.